by waking those up and doing that before you do academics, you're preparing your body for the ability to access your education.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Tier 1 Intervention Podcast, talking about strengthening the Tier 1 core classroom with academic and non-academic interventions, strategies, and techniques to meet the needs of all students, regardless of ability or disability. I am Jonalee Zupanczyk, and I am here with my partner in education, partner in crime, Sherry Dotter, who is going to help us answer the question today, why do students not remember? When I teach lessons, when I give quizzes, when I come back to content, why do students have so much trouble retrieving the information and recalling the information after I've taught it? So Sherry's going to enlighten us today on everything that's happening that affects memory and retention of content.
Hey, everybody. It is great to be here. I'm Sherry Dotter. And yeah, I'll talk to you today a little bit about all that non-academic part of what's happening inside your brain.
In this episode of Tier 1 Interventions, I am sharing the second half of my training on the senses. Remember, last week we talked about the five senses, plus we started talking about proprioception. Today, we're going to continue that conversation. I look forward to hearing what you have to say. Please put your comments down in the comment section, or do us a big favor and subscribe to the podcast.
So if you've ever heard a therapist say, don't just write with your hands, but you write with your whole arm, that's absolutely true, because the nerves start in the brain and go all the way down your arm. They start at your fingertips and they go all the way up your arm to your brain. And all of your joints, you've got 1, 2, 3 in this finger. You've got 2 in your thumb. You've got 3 in this finger. You've got sensation and a very complex set of bones in your palm and in your wrist. Then you've got the bones that are, and the nervous system coming up your arm so that your arm can rotate. You've got the elbow so it can bend. You've got a shoulder. Shoulder's a little bit more complex because it's going to go around in a circle. And then we have these nerves that are coming up through there that go up into our neck and back into our brain. And then we have the reverse. We have the nerves that are coming back down to make the motor function. So all we've done so far is talk about the messages coming from our body going to our brain. We haven't even reversed the response to what it says afterwards. So all the proprioception is doing is sending messages to the brain as to how much pressure that joint needs to do the task that you're asking it to do. So a lot of kids that struggle with writing have difficult time with this proprioception. They either are writing too heavy or too light. Their fingers don't have the control to keep the pencil in the right place, so they have awkward pencil grasp. And these other things that impact the way the joints work. Now, so I wrote some actions down. These are motor actions that impact the proprioception. Brushing, where you're using a brush to brush your hair. You could be using a brush to brush your arm or your leg. You could be using a brush to paint a wall. Combing, that motion. Chewing, we talked about. That first line is in black just because I was trying to group them in groups. What do you think I was thinking by putting those in groups of color, the black there, the brushing, the combing, and the chewing? What do you think I was thinking about when I was putting them in that kind of a group? Krista, how about you? Where do you think I was going?
I don't know. I was thinking like maybe it's like they're all arm movements, but then chewing is not an arm movement. So I don't know. I was trying to see what they had in common to put them together.
Jeanette, maybe you have a good idea what I was thinking.
I was trying to think of that proprioceptive feedback, but I don't know about brushing definitely does. I'm not sure about the combing.
The combing does a little bit. It's not as much. But what I was thinking was activities of daily living. So in the world of OT, anything that is something that takes care of yourself that involves like bathing, dressing, eating, that was those kind of activities I put in black. And so I was thinking that, yeah, they're not necessarily things that we do in school for academics, but yet there might be things like that they do in school. So the girls might be spending a little bit too much time in the bathroom brushing and combing and fixing their hair. Sometimes the guys are just as bad, but that's what I was thinking when I was grouping these things together. Then I was looking at another group, and this is one that I was thinking about the classroom, carrying, pushing, pulling, and bouncing. And so a lot of times you may hear an OT talk about pushing a bunch of heavy books down the hallway, like on a cart, that pushing down the cart, or pulling something out of the cabinet, or carrying something, or I was thinking about bouncing like on one of the therapy balls or something that if there were one of the adaptive seating. So I was looking at that from that perspective. So those ideas, things that you can carry, things that you can push, they're going to put this push and pull on the joints, not on just your arms, but your other parts of your body as well. By waking those up and doing that before you do academics, you're preparing your body for the ability to access your education. The third column, I was thinking of tasks that you have to do while sitting. So cutting, squeezing, like squeezing a putty or squeezing the glue bottle or something like that. Tearing, where you could be tearing paper. And then taping, you pull it out of the dispenser, and then you've got to pull it to cut it off. Those are things that you do when you're a little bit more sedentary. And then there's also jumping and climbing. And the reason I put them on a separate, bouncing goes over here as well, a separate, is because they fall into this other category, that second set of hidden sensories called the vestibular system. And I'm not going to get into those today. We're going to save that one for another session, because just us looking at this amount of information today is enough to get you thinking about things that you can do in your lesson plans to help prepare kids for their education.
As a middle school or sixth grade teacher, I know it's interesting that carrying would be something to use to stimulate, because we always worry about how much they're carrying to class. That tends to be our worry.
There is some ergonomic limitations on what you are supposed to carry, but there's also the balance where if they go down to the weight room, they're overstimulating that lift, where they're lifting mega amounts sometimes of weight. But yeah, if they're carrying too much in front of them, they're going to arch their back. If they're carrying too much on their back, they're going to arch the other way. So yeah, with how much they're carrying in as far as books go, learning how to balance that ergonomically is what you're thinking of there. What I was thinking with carrying, not just with carrying books, but even carrying a cup of coffee will stimulate your hand to prepare for another activity. But Amy says in the chat, sometimes we have kids carry some books to another teacher saying we need them when we see they need a sensory break. Beautiful. What can you tell me about? What do you see? What do you notice? Gives everyone an entry point into the conversation.
Yep. One thing I noticed as far as that proprioception, when you're looking at kids who's doing a lot of kneeling in their chair, standing up, sitting down, that's when I do a lot of the, oh, you know what, I'm going to send them to go carry the books to another classroom, or I'll have them do, you know what, the whole class, let's do a 2-second plank or something that gives them that joint compression as well, just so that they're more grounded to do more of their work too in the classroom.
Yep. Trinette just used a technical word called joint compression, and that's what we mean by putting the joint back together. There's also the terminology when you pull it apart. You might have heard of eccentric and concentric contraction. That's that back and forth part. Okay, we sent some technical stuff to you. We don't expect you to know that. Yes, wall push-ups. Another thing that I am going to suggest, even for sixth grade there, Krista, is having some of these foot-long bands, but pulling, bringing around the back, pulling, just 30 seconds of that kind of activity where they're just both directions and down the back. You'd be surprised how that will just wake up your upper body. The other thing that OTs have that you may not have in the classroom, but you have Play-Doh, is Theraputty. And Theraputty, comes in different strengths. So if you have an OT in your school that can get you a couple different strengths, kids can choose what they want to do. So it's a different texture of a pull and a push and a pinch than what Play-Doh is. Play-Doh has gluten in it. So if you have kids with a gluten allergy, you've got to watch Play-Doh. Look at all the stuff that's going on in your body that you aren't even aware of as a teacher that could make or break. The limbic system is a filing cabinet. And every time you have a memory, a moment of your day, it goes into a folder. Folder goes into the filing cabinet. On the outside of that folder is an emotion. It's red, yellow, green. When we get into some of the more technical behavioral things, we'll add blue in there as well. But if you just think like the stoplight, is it good? Can I do this again? Yellow, I didn't really care for that, but I'd be willing to try it again. Or is it red? I am not going to go there again. I think it's really good for what John Lee has in mind as far as the math goes, because what John Lee is going to be talking about involves a lot of hand manipulation with the activities that we're going to do with the kids.
Today, I wanted to focus on the improving number sense piece of that. When you get access to these materials, you'll get this recording of the training. You'll get the PDF resources. You'll get the audio files of me teaching in classrooms. Even if you're a seventh grade teacher, listen to the first and second grade. Even if you're a first grade teacher, listen to the sixth and eighth grade. Because you're going to find these are not grade level specific. You will find and pick up on instructional strategies and nuances of me teaching this with kids that you can use in your own classroom.
I think my biggest takeaway from today is just looking at it from that full sensory piece, even like the whisper counting, that time to share, the moving around to find the partner, like all those different sensory pieces, looking at it from a math perspective as well. I really will look at things different for sure now.
From you, as I've worked with you, I've been conscious on the fonts I've been using for that visual piece in colors. But one aha I had is that you look at students who ask to get a drink as they're trying to flee class. But then I'm like, what if it's just that they need to activate? And so that's something that going forward, I'm going to keep. Yes, you can go get a drink. Now, obviously, if we go 500 times in a class, that would be like, okay, we need to look at something else. But oftentimes I want to say no, but because I'm worried about the misinstruction. But if they do need to get themselves regulated and they need to get themselves ready to learn and that drink is going to help them, then really, if they stay in class, they're going to be missing that instruction anyway.
Amy put hers in the chat. I'm going to read it. I am going to start having kids take a break to do some planks or wall push-ups when I notice them getting up and down in seats, sitting on their knees, etc. I've never thought of that, and it is quick. And Amy, I'm glad that you were able to take away something from the non-academic portion today that will help your kids, because your kids, the first graders, are really in a crucial spot as far as that difference between the learning and the actual applying. Thank you. But the idea of what I want to do on May 11th is take that stuff that you saw up on the board. I gave you like an overall category, chewing, bouncing and stuff. And I am working on dividing activities from those categories into what is really good to do in tier one. What do you really need to shift into a tier two or a tier three, and really give you some guidance on how to think about spontaneously and just having your toolbox. What is happening overall with different activities that you hear about all the time, but what's the best place to use them? Those high school students, I see the dimension chart, the grid paper, being so powerful with 8 through 12, even as an OT. So really take some time and think through some of the last three sessions, and the next two moving forward are going to be powerful.
Excellent. That wraps up our time today, and I just have a couple of final thoughts. We started today with this question, why don't kids remember? And Sherry walked us through the complexity of the brain, the body, and the spirit, and how all of those things interact together to produce access to learning. Typical traditional math classrooms are not structured in a way to allow these positive sensory experiences. I'm hoping that through this Making Rectangles session today, that you've seen ways that we can connect the medical, brain-based, cognitive science, occupational therapy world to what is natural in learning and have a place in our math classrooms so that numbers come alive, so that numbers are things that we not only see the notation, but we see the visual representation, we hear all of the representations, and we do the representations of numbers by drawing and building and chunking so that our kids have a stronger number sense and have a better innate intuitive understanding of the magnitude of numbers. Magnitude meaning how small or large numbers are, the size of numbers, the value of numbers. And most importantly, have access to higher level mathematics because the notations and the symbols are connected and associated with the visuals and the tactile pieces. They're not just another mathematical notation. Mathematical notation comes to life, and students understand number better, so they're going to be able to achieve higher, and they're going to have a stronger math fact fluency and automaticity to engage in deeper level mathematics. So thanks, everybody, for being here. This was Session 3, Tier 1 Math Interventions, Making Rectangles.
Nalima says, Tier 1 Interventions was a sensitizing workshop, systematically thought through, put into an easy-to-understand framework, and well-presented. Thank you to you both. Thank you, Nalima. You've been listening to Tier 1 Interventions with Jonalise Juspanzik and Sherry Daughter. Tier 1 Interventions is released on the first and third Tuesday of the month. The
podcast is recorded live on the third Saturday of each month except July. The first segment of the podcast is released to your favorite podcast app. To hear the entire workshop, go to tier1interventions.com and register for our mailing list to get all the news about the next episode. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode's release. Do us a favor, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. Every vote matters. I'm Nicholas King, an intern for Sherry Daughter Educational Consulting,